As the 2017 Kansas legislative session looms in the distance, officials at Kansas State University are starting to worry, although for some, the upcoming elections offer some hope. They say any further reductions in state funding will not only degrade the school's ability to fulfill its land-grant mission for the state, but also make it harder to achieve its vision of becoming a top 50 public research institution. Interim President Richard Myers, a retired Air Force general who served as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says the outlook for the university depends on just who you talk to.
I think in terms of state appropriation, pretty much the same as the past several years at this point. And that, of course, involves the legislature. Maybe on the upside, some think after the general election that there'll be a different mix in the legislature, and maybe the appreciation of what higher education does for the state, for the region, for the world, for that matter, will be better in the next legislature. So it all remains to be seen. Anytime you have some new freshman legislators, you have an opportunity to perhaps inform them on what Kansas State does, and that's our plan going forward. After the election, we'll find out who those folks are and invite them to campus, give them K-State 101, if you will, and explain the value of this institution to the state and to the region.
In the first program you and I did, we talked about the value of Kansas State University and the region system in general. Mm-hmm. Do you think that maybe state lawmakers don't realize its value?
Well, I mean, I've read some quotes from individual lawmakers that lead you to believe that might be true. I don't think in general. I think, our tradition around here for so long in the state of Kansas is that we really valued higher education. And I don't know. I haven't been around long enough to answer that question. But I'd hope there's a repository of those who think this is really important for our state, that if we're going to have a prosperous state and develop economically, that that's going to be done on the backs of the talent that this state has and educated talent. And we're a talent factory here at Kansas State University. We want to make sure we have folks that are appealing to lots of communities, but the business community is one. And that's what's going to attract them to Kansas. It's not going to be our beaches. It's going to be our people.
If the elections don't change things, and things don't change come January, the university is looking at a possible, $4 million cut?
Well, nobody knows for sure. That's part of the issue. It'd be hard to keep your family budget if they said, okay, here's our budget for the coming year, which we're in the middle of, we're not in the middle, but almost the middle of fiscal year 17. It started 1 July. And to let you go for several months and say, oh, by the way, on that budget, we're going to have to cut it. We're not sure how much yet, but we're going to cut it. And then knowing that there's probably another cut coming in the spring when you're close to the end of your budget year makes it very difficult to do any strategic budgeting. And so you get very reactive in how you handle those cuts. It wouldn't be good for a family to be reactive. It's not good for a university to be reactive because you can't plan things in a strategic sense. It's got to be very tactical sort of decisions. And sometimes tactical decisions in a large organization just aren't the best ones, but the ones you have to make at the time. So it's not just the fact we might get cuts. It's the uncertainty of when and how much.
If we do have to make cuts, are they going to be generally across the board? Are they going to be just cuts here and there?
We don't know yet. We're looking at several scenarios of both of those types of cuts. So one I'd refer to as the peanut butter. We'll just spread the peanut butter over the whole problem and everybody takes their share. Or we've done that in the past, and we might be getting close to the point where we have to look more programmatically at what we cut. So those are very difficult decisions. The analytics to go in to support that are even more difficult to assemble and make judgments on. But that's We're in the process of thinking our way through that, but we don't know at this point.
The university raised tuition starting with the fall semester this year.
5.81%.
Does that mean if there's any kind of a budget cut, we're going to have to do the same thing next fall?
Not necessarily, and not decided at this point. The one thing I think that the university's really concerned about is pricing ourselves out of our land-grant mission. That is, we exist as a land-grant institution to provide access to higher education, and we can't price ourselves out of that market or we're not fulfilling our mission. So just raising tuition it might solve your revenue problem, but it's not going to solve enrollment issues. Enrollment has been going down, and retention of students decreases from time to time. And a lot of the reason it does is financial. People start and can't finish. They say, wait a minute, this is costing me way too much. I better go get a job or something. We are very sensitive to that, and we should be. We should be a university where if you have the talent, you can come here, you can get a higher education degree and go out and add to the community in many, many ways, and not least of which is providing for your family. So that's what we're all about. So we haven't talked about tuition increases at this point. Not sure the Kansas Board of Regents would approve them at this point either. So
has the increase in tuition caused part of that lack, that shortage in enrollment, or is that just speculation?
No. We have, at this point, I don't know that we have a broad survey. We have lots of anecdotal evidence that says, yes, I couldn't return for my sophomore year, or I just can't enroll at Kansas State at this time. I've got to go to maybe a community college or somewhere where I could live at home and try to do it a little bit less expensively than coming to K-State. Sure, that's happening.
So you talked to the regents recently. Mm-hmm. Are you requesting more buildings, or is that just on the sideboard because of all the other financial problems?
No, there's always requests in. And so one of the buildings that we've requested some help with is a new building for geosciences there. And I think it's Thompson Hall, which is old. I've been over there. It is, it's old. And so the classrooms are barely suitable. Research areas are probably not suitable. And geoscience is important to the state. We're an energy state. So this is about energy. It's about water for ag and other purposes. And lots of mining, lots of things that geosciences helps with. And we have a good department. We need to provide them proper facilities. So we've started that discussion with the state and hoping that they'll help in a small way. We'll make up the difference with some philanthropy and other measures.
I know there was a certain amount of angst expressed when the College of Ag didn't get a building. Is that under consideration?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's for Kansas State University, that has to be the next big thing, in my opinion. Now, there are lots of other folks who have to weigh in on the decision, because it's going to be a very expensive decision. But if you look at how important our College of Agriculture is, not only to the university, but more importantly to the state, to the region, globally, in terms of food safety and security, we've got to provide the proper classrooms and the proper research areas for that college. It is, because we've waited so long, there's going to be a big bill to pay here. And you'd have to hope that since agriculture is such a big part of Kansas and this college is such a big part of that effort, that we would get some help from the state. Philanthropy is going to have to play a role, other methods, loans and so forth. But we have to start on that. And I was talking to the dean, John Flores, today, and his department heads and some of his faculty, and we talked about that and how important that's going to be going forward. That's, engineering has their new phase four business. We just cut the ribbon on that. There are lots of other things, lots of other needs, but I would say agriculture is right up there with the next thing we need to really focus on.
So what does a new ag building run these days?
Well, it's going to be a complex, probably, and it's into the hundreds of millions, several hundreds of millions to do and it's been phased. You can't bite that all off all at once. So it's going to be phased in over time. and over many years. But so, but you got to start somewhere. And the first phase is probably going to be south of 200 million. It'll be less than that, but it'll be in that area as we try to move forward. That's not unreasonable given the importance of the College of Agriculture and the current state of facilities. They have the last survey done on their infrastructure said that about 20% of their infrastructure is suitable. 10%, there's nothing you can do. Renovation won't make a difference. And then there's that 70% in the middle where renovation might be appropriate or replacement. So there's 10% that's just you're going to have to do away with. 20% is okay, and the 70% is what we're going to have to address. And so that's a large, you know, if we all had houses that needed 70% either renovation or new, we'd be in deep trouble. So College of Agriculture is not in deep trouble, but it's time to take action.
So where do the rest of the buildings stand at this point? The new dorm, you mentioned engineering.
Well, the phase four of engineering is complete, and it's anybody goes over to our engineering complex now, I think it's four phases. It's nothing like I studied in. I studied in Seton Hall. There were little buildings across the street where they are now. And Seton still stands. And those classrooms still stand. And some of them are okay. But the new facility is so much better. Businesses, of course, we cut the ribbon on the business building just a couple of weeks ago. The nice thing about those new facilities are that the classrooms there, after a year of being primarily devoted to either engineering or business, in the second year, they'll go on the master schedule and available for anybody to schedule. So they won't be just exclusively for business if they're in the new business building, or exclusive for engineering if they're in the engineering building. They'll be available. Those two entities will have first choice of scheduling, but they can't fill them up. And when they can't fill them up, then other folks on campus can apply to have those as their classrooms as well.
So, and we're in the process of partially closing campus with as far as streets go. Where does that stand?
Yeah, well, the other thing I think what you're referring to is trying to move parking and roads to the perimeter where we have a campus then that is mainly walkable. And we've made a lot of progress along that notion recently with the opening of Mid-Campus Drive to a point, Lover's Lane, which the President driveway comes off of. They're doing the last piece of road work there to open that up. It goes down by the business building, then out to Manhattan Avenue. What used to be a road coming up from Leadership Studies up to the road where it intercepts with the Mid-Campus Drive and Lover's Lane, that's all been made a pedestrian walkway. I think it's beautiful. I mean, it just changes the whole complexion of that part of campus. It doesn't look like buildings with an alley between them, the old roadway. It now is just a beautiful walkway. And I walked it today a couple of times going to various things. It's used heavily now by foot traffic and by folks on bicycles. It's really a wonderful change, I think, on our campus. But the idea is move the traffic off, make our campus environment safer for students, faculty, and staff.
One last thing. Where do we stand with the presidential search?
Well, I get courtesy updates from the chairman of the search committee, and my understanding is that they're now in the middle of interviews, and they've had one round of interviews, as I understand it. Supposedly, there'll be another round of interviews here in the near future, and at that point, I think their process will be to try to provide two or three, four names to the Kansas Board of Regents so they can then choose the next president of Kansas State University. So everything I understand, they're on track to do that.
So you'll be out of a job by the first of the year?
It depends on he or she, whomever is picked, when they can pack up and come to Manhattan, Kansas. Maybe they're already here, who knows, but come out and be part of it, then I would depart, absolutely, yeah. Although, having said that, there are several things that I think I can stay involved in that would not get in the way of a new president. Some initiatives that just require attention, and I would hope that I could stay involved in some of that stuff. And I'm, and my wife and I are still co-chairs of our Innovation Inspiration Campaign. That doesn't end in 2018. And I'll go back to my role as, I think it's chairman of the trustees. I put that on hold right now because I didn't think it was appropriate to have the president of the university be the chairman of the trustees. So my number two is filling in that regard, and I'm on sabbatical, I guess, from that.
That's the interim president of Kansas State University, Richard Myers, a retired Air Force general who served as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.